The title of the message this morning is this: How Popular Are You? How Popular Are You? Let's stand together, and I want us to read a few verses. John chapter 15, and we're going to begin there in verse number 12. John chapter 15, and let's look at verse number 12. The Bible says there, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then I want you to go down with me to verse number 17, and we're going to read verses 17 to 25. John 15, verses 17 to 25. It says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." This, of course, is Jesus speaking. It says, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." In other words, he's saying they don't know God. They don't really know God. Verse 22. "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin." They wouldn't know sin. He says, but now have they no cloak. They have no coat. They have no covering. In other words, for their sin. Verse 23. "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." I want to preach to you about this thought: how popular are you? How popular are you? Let's pray together. Why don't you pray and ask God to speak to you. Father, I thank you so much that we have this privilege to open up your word. I believe the book that I hold in my hand right now is the inspired and preserved word of God. This is a precious book. You've given it to show us your love, to show us your plan, to teach us. We can face many things in this life, Lord. But I know we can't face them without you. We can't face them without you. Father, I pray you'd convict us and challenge us today by this thought of thinking about just how popular am I? How popular am I? Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We learn in these verses of both love and hate. Didn't we read some verses where we're taught how to love? We're taught how, as Jesus' disciples, you know, how we ought to love one another. We read about love, but boy, in these verses, we also start to read about hate. And how, if we are Christ's disciples, if we are identifying with Christ in a way that we should, how there will be some who will hate us. Why? It's because they hate him. There will be some that will hate us because they hate Christ. There were some that hated Jesus because they didn't know God, the Bible says. How popular are you? We read of how the world hated Jesus and yet how Jesus loved the world. What a contrast there is. You know, the world hated Jesus, but yet Jesus loved the world. Let me share with you a few thoughts this morning as we think about this question: how popular are you? How popular are you? And you can ask yourself, how popular am I? How popular am I? Here's a few thoughts. Number one, we are commanded to love by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been commanded to love by the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in John chapter 15 and verse number 12, it said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." There's really not conditions on that. And if we were to look through the Bibles, and in fact, if we were to look to Matthew chapter 5, we won't take time to do that. But we're taught in Matthew 5, you know, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we're to love even those that hate us. We're to love even those that persecute us. We're to love even those that would despitefully use us and so on. We are commanded to love with no conditions. It's not the love that we're commanded to love is not just, well, you're to love the people that love you. Or you're to love just those that are kind to you or those that do good things to you. No, we are commanded to love no matter what. And that's Christ's example to us, isn't it? He loved people that didn't love him. First statement is very simple. We are commanded to love by the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, we are taught how to love by his example. We are taught how to love by his example. Look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Does that remind you of anything? Does that remind you of anyone? It ought to remind you of the love of Jesus Christ. It ought to always be a picture to us and a reminder to us of Jesus Christ and the great love that he had for us. No greater love than that. The one who was willing to lay down his life for us. He was willing to die for us. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He died for you and me. Has anybody ever loved you like that? I don't think so. There's no greater love. There's no greater example of love. And so we are taught to love by the example of Jesus Christ. We ought to love others in the way that Christ loved us. In the way that Christ loved us. Think about this. Christ loved us even when we were his enemies. I want you to turn with me over to, we're going to come back to John, but turn with me to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look there at verses 6 to 11. Jesus Christ loved us even when we were his enemies. Even when we were living in sin. Look what the Bible says. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? For the ungodly. Christ didn't just die for the righteous. Christ didn't just die for the people that are sitting in church this morning. He died for the ungodly. He didn't just die for those that, you know, loved God. He died for those that hate God. He died for everybody. Look again at what it says. For when we're yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, that word, if you're not familiar with it, just kind of means like hardly, or, you know, hardly. How is it possible? You know, for scarcely or hardly or rarely, for a righteous man will one die. It's incredible stories when you hear about those who maybe, you know, risked their life or gave their life for somebody to save them. You know, sometimes firefighters are called to do that, and they maybe risk their life, or some cases even give their life in saving somebody else. And that's a heroic story when somebody would be willing to risk their life or give their life to help somebody else. You know, some of us would hope that we'd have the courage to be able to give our life for some good person. I hope that I'd be willing to die for one of my family. We like to say it. We like to think I would, and I hope I would. I hope if I was put in that place where it meant me or the life of my wife or me or the life of one of my children, I hope I'd be willing to step in. I hope I'd be willing to do whatever it takes, maybe to preserve them from some accident, to me take the hit, me take the blow, me be willing to die for them. And we'd understand that because you love that person. It's somebody you care about. But notice the rest of that verse. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But notice verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. God proved his love toward us. God displayed, God showed, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can the truth of that verse sink into your heart? I mean, God just didn't love good people. He loved bad people. He didn't just die for righteous people. He died for sinners and ungodly people. He didn't just die for, you know, the somebody who can be a church-going person and that sort of thing. No, he died for the person that's sitting in prison tonight, who committed murder. He's dying for them. He gave his life for them. That is the love of Christ. He didn't just die for good people. He died for all sinners. For me who's a sinner. For you who is a sinner. For the worst of sinners. He died for everybody. He died even for his enemies. He died for the ungodly. Notice verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, we were brought back to God into a relationship with God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God. We rejoice in God. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Listen, Jesus Christ proved his love by his sacrifice, by giving his life. Christ's love is an unselfish, sacrificial kind of love. And that's our example. We are taught to love like Christ loves. In fact, the Bible teaches us how we ought to love others. And the way that we love others ought to be such that people will know you're with Christ, aren't you? You're a disciple of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. Look back to John, the Gospel of John, and go back to chapter 13. John chapter 13. John 13, and look at verses 34 and 35. How we love others, how I love others, how you love others, is how people are going to know that we're the disciples of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Can I ask you something this morning? Are we walking in his steps? Are we following his example? Are we loving others the way that he loves? Are we loving Christ with an unselfish love, with a sacrificial love, with a love that's willing to die? I mean, a love that's willing to lose our life for the sake of others? Are we loving like that? But I want you to notice something else. Go back to John 15. If we become radical followers of Jesus Christ, we will be hated by the world. You know, number one, we're commanded to love by the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, our example, we're taught how to love by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to love in such a way that they think, man, that's radical love. They are a radical follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, they even love their enemies. They even love their boss at work when their boss at work is unkind to them. They even love and pray for that coworker when they're not getting along with that coworker. I mean, wow, that's radical love. That's radical discipleship. That's radical to live in such a way. Well, you will love people even if they don't love you. If we're going to become radical followers of Jesus Christ, we'll be hated by the world. Notice what it says in John 15, verses 17 to 19. John 15, verses 17 to 19. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Notice what will happen to you if you live for Christ. The world will hate you. A Christian's popularity can be an indication of how he is representing Christ to the world. A Christian's popularity can be an indication of how he is representing Jesus Christ to the world. A true Christian disciple, listen, will not be popular in the world. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, If you're going to love the Lord like you ought to love Him, if you're going to be faithful to Him like He wants you to be faithful to Him, if you're going to follow Him and you're going to obey His word in your life, and if you're going to do the things that Christ commands you to do, and you're going to make choices in life and have priorities in life sometimes that other people look at and say, I don't understand you. Why don't you have time for me? Is your church more important to you than your family? Why are you doing that? You're so strange. You're so weird. You're so different. Why won't you come here with me? Or why won't you do that? Or why do you do that? Listen, we can apply it in a billion ways. But there may be times where people look at it and they don't understand why you'll do what you do or how you'll live, you know, why you'll live like that. A Christian's popularity can be an indication of how he's representing Christ to the world. No Christian has any right to be more popular than Jesus was. No Christian has any right to be more popular than Jesus was. We need to beware in our own life, be careful in our own life of a compromising, complacent, a weak or watered down position in order to be loved by the world. If I have to, you know, compromise my beliefs or compromise, you know, what I'm gonna do, what I'm gonna say, how I'm gonna live. If I have to compromise that. If I have to say, you know, I'm sorry, just to do what the Bible says is a bit too radical. I won't fit in. What would people say about me? What if I would lose my job? What would people at work say? What would my family say? If we have to compromise what we're gonna do and how we're gonna live as disciples of Jesus Christ, in order to be loved by the world, we're in trouble. We're making a mistake. We may not live for Christ always like we should. And sometimes it may be because we just want to be loved or accepted by the world. But can I tell you something? That's wrong. When there are times in our life where you're faced with a decision, and there are times where you maybe choose to do things or choose not to do things. And it's only because, well, I just want to please them. I just wouldn't want to do anything to offend them. Well, do we ever think, well, what if I'm offending Christ? What if I'm offending God? So are we going to sometimes, well, because I don't want to offend people, or I just want to please people, or I want them to like me, or I want to fit in, or if we sometimes are going to make choices where we'd rather, you know, please man or please the world, or I don't want to offend them, and instead we end up disobeying God's word or displeasing our God or offending Jesus Christ. Well, which is worse? I'd say offending God. Listen, we need to beware. Beware. Beware of compromising in our life. Beware of complacency in our life. Beware of those things that we might do or not do just because we want to be loved by the world. Is God's love and acceptance and approval not enough for us? Is God's love enough for you? Or do you say, I kind of need to be loved by such and such? Is God's acceptance and approval in your life, is that not enough for you? Is that not enough for me? Can we just not remain steadfast in our lives knowing that, hey, God accepts me and God approves of me and God is pleased with what I'm going to do? There may be others that don't like it. I may not be popular with others, but God accepts me and God approves of me. Is that what matters? Or do we sometimes instead, we want the acceptance and love and approval of the world. We want the acceptance and love and approval of unsafe family members. We want the love and acceptance and approval of all our co-workers. Listen, the world will not love a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ if it did not love Christ. If the world did not love Jesus Christ, it won't love someone who's determined, I want to be a faithful disciple of His. This may be difficult. This may be hard for us to accept if we crave popularity, if we want the approval or acceptance of others. But listen, Jesus was not popular. Jesus was not popular. Jesus wouldn't have had a billion followers on Facebook. The crowds that would have wanted to be a follower at first, they would have quickly left when the going got tough. You know, how many times did even disciples, sometimes those that were supposed to be disciples of Christ, walk away from him? Because they couldn't accept the things that he said. Sadly, there may even be times, maybe within our own churches or within our own homes, when people are not genuine believers or true disciples of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they may even hate you. Sometimes people may hate a preacher who faithfully preaches the Word of God. Sometimes people may hate a Christian whose righteous life convicts them and bothers them because of their own unrighteousness. We need to beware of becoming popular or accepted by the world. Beware of becoming popular. Beware of becoming accepted by the world or becoming accepted by the unfaithful. Listen, it may be a sign that we're being disapproved of God. Think about this. Listen, if the world approves of me, then maybe I better check out my life. Maybe God wouldn't approve. If everybody else is accepting of me and everything about how I'm living my life, listen, it may be that God's not accepting and God's not real thrilled. If everybody else is just loving me and I'm real popular, you're real popular, you may not be so popular with God. We need to beware. Beware of becoming popular or accepted by the world. It may be a sign that we're being disapproved of God. God and the world approve of two different ways of living. God approves of one way of living, and the world approves of another way of living. Look again at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I want you to notice verses 18 down through verse 23. John 15, 18 to 23. It says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, no covering. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Listen, we cannot try to be greater than our Lord. The servant should not be more popular than the master. Those who will persecute you or those who will hate you for being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, they have a problem. They have a problem. They do not know the Heavenly Father, and they do not want their sins revealed. We see that clearly in those verses. If there are people who will persecute you or they will hate you for being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, it is definitely for one or both of those reasons. They either do not know the Heavenly Father, they do not really know God, or they do not want their sins revealed. They'd rather have them covered. They'd rather have a cloak. They don't like your righteousness kind of bothering them because of their unrighteousness. When Jesus came and Jesus shined the light, you know what? People didn't like it. They didn't like the light of the world come. Why? Because he shined light onto their darkness. He shined light onto their dark deeds. He shined light onto things in their life that were not right. When Jesus came and shined the light, people didn't like it because they were walking in darkness. Listen, when a light gets turned on, all the rats and snakes and bugs, they run for cover, don't they? When a light gets turned on, if a place has been dark for a while, if it's under some stones or rocks, or we dug up one time at the side of our house and back of our house. Boy, there's all kinds of little bugs under there. You go to a barn and you go and flick on all the lights in that barn and it goes from darkness to light all of a sudden. You know what happens? All the rats and mice and everything, they begin to scurry. They take off. All the rats, all the snakes, all the bugs run for cover. Listen, when the light gets turned on, they will hate the one that turns on the light. Jesus said they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. You know, the only cause for their hate was the sin in their heart. They didn't like Jesus come and shine in light. They liked it better when they had a cloak, you know, when they had a cloak, when they had something just to cover. But when the light shines on and all their darkness is revealed, their sin is revealed, it bothered them. Verse 22 said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now have they no cloak for their sin. It can't be hidden anymore. You know what? People don't like having their own sin uncovered. And so they tend to hate those who shine the light. How popular are you? How popular are you? Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Towards the end of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. How popular are you? How popular am I? Beware of popularity. Beware of being loved by the world. Beware of being popular with the unsaved. If I'm popular with the unsaved, if I'm loved by the world, then something ain't right in my life. If you live a life fully consecrated, listen to this. If you live a life fully consecrated, if you live a life fully committed to Jesus Christ, you will not be popular with the world. You will be hated. If you will walk in the steps of Jesus, you will not be loved by all. You won't be loved by everybody. You'll be criticized by some. You'll be persecuted by some. Look what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 to 24. It says, for this is thankworthy. Or in other words, this is worthy of thanks, worthy of thanksgiving. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience, just for, you know, for conscience sake, the man for conscience toward God, because you want to have a good conscience, because you want to please God, because you want to be accepted by God, because you want to be popular with God and not with the world. It says, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, is maybe unloved and misunderstood by some unsaved relatives, is maybe persecuted by co-workers or a boss because you have a certain conviction as a Christian. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you do good and you suffer for it, you try to be a disciple of Christ and you suffer for it, you try to please God and you suffer for it, you simply try to love God and follow Him and be committed to Him and do what is right, but yet maybe you're unloved by others or you're persecuted by some. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen, do right. We ought to simply be willing to do right because we want to have a good, clean conscience before God. We want to have a clean conscience. We want to please God. Our goal ought to not be, well, I want to be popular with the world, or I want to be loved, or I want to be accepted. No, I want to be popular with God. I want to please Him. Do right simply to have a good, clean conscience in the sight of God. Secondly, understand that you'll be hated by some when you seek to please God in all things. If you're going to seek to please God in all things, if you're going to seek to love God and put Him first and honor His word in your life, there will be times, you can't avoid it, where you will be hated by some in this world. They will not understand you. They will hate you. Why? Because you love Christ. And you want to please Christ. Do right to have a good, clean conscience to please God. Understand that you'll be hated by some when you seek to please God in all things. Number three, like Christ, continue to love and do good to all, no matter how they treat you. Like Christ, continue to love and do good to all, no matter how they treat you. You saw that in the verses we read in Peter? When they reviled him, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He suffered for his stand as a Christian. You know, because he was determined, I can do that or I can't do that. Or, listen, what if you in a workplace say, I'm a Christian, I can't do that. Or I'm a Christian, I must do this. Listen, will you just suffer for it patiently like Christ did? Or are we going to have the attitude of like the world does nowadays in everything? Well, I'm going to sue you because you're not treating me fairly as a Christian. Might not get very far in our world today. You know, there'll be other groups that will be more successful in that. Listen, as a Christian, there's so many times where you're going to be hated. There's so many times where you're going to be hated. There's going to be times where you're going to be reviled. There's going to be times where you're misunderstood. There's going to be times where you're not popular. But what are you going to seek? What do you really want? Do you want to be popular with the world or do you want to be popular with God? Do you want to please man or do you want to please God? Do you want to be acceptable in the sight of others or do you want to be acceptable in the sight of God? Do right just to have a good, clean conscience in the sight of God. I understand at times you'll be hated by some because of seeking to please God in all things. But like Christ, will you just determine that you're going to continue to love? He teaches us to love. He sets the example for how we ought to love, even to those that don't love us. And will you continue to love and do good to all, no matter how they treat you? No matter how they treat you. It's unavoidable. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ and love Him and follow Him in all things, you won't be popular. There'll be times where you're not loved. There'll be times where you're misunderstood. There'll be times where people hate you. There'll be times where your life will bother them because you want to live a righteous life. And it's like you come in and you flick the light on in that work, that lunchroom at work. Oh, we can't say such and such now. You know, Joe Christian's here now. Listen, our life ought to be a light. It ought to be that where we go, the light's turned on. And it may bother some. It may bother some. But listen, we're not to compromise. We're not to weaken our life. We're not to change things just because, well, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to offend people. No, our ultimate goal ought to be pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ and being popular with Him. And if sometimes we just happen to be light in the midst of darkness, we're righteousness in the midst of unrighteousness, it can bother them. They may dislike you, but we're to please Christ first. How popular are you? How popular am I? Let's pray together. Father, ask you please to convict us, Lord, of these thoughts. Help us to be prepared for what is to come. Help us to be prepared for what we'll face if we will choose to honor God and live for Christ and love Christ and be your disciple.